Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's second quarter 2018 results conference call. All participants are present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded August 14, 2018. With us online today is Mr. Omer Ziv, CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policy, as well as certain other risk factors which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.com, will be used during the conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for Q2 and H1 2018. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the major takeaways from the financial statements. We are also joined today by our colleagues, Shlomo Goldfarb, Chief Accountant, and Dr. Gil Buffman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the TASE website. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna. Good day all, and thank you for joining us today. I'm pleased to present Leumi's results for the first half and the second quarter of 2018. Over the past few months, we have reached several notable achievements, which I would like to touch upon on slide 3. We announced the sale of Leumi Card to Werber Pincus at a value of 2.5 billion shekels, with a net profit of 234 million shekels upon completion. There is an additional potential upside of up to 273 million shekels to the sale price in the coming years. We also announced in May the closing of the sale of 15% of Lusa to Endicott and MSD. As previously stated, we believe that this strategic cooperation will support Lusa, enabling it to further expand and be more profitable. We are very satisfied with these two achievements, which reflect a much higher value of these companies than their book value. This allows Leumi to focus on preparing Leumi in all aspects for the coming years. Let's move on to slide number 4, which shows the three pillars of our strategy. In Q2, we continued in our effort to move our customers to digital channels. A year ago, we launched Pepper, the single mobile-only bank in Israel. We are very satisfied with the pace of growth of Pepper. Every day, hundreds of customers join Pepper, a model which offers an innovative experience of banking services with a lower price model than those offered by the traditional banks. A month ago, we also launched an innovative vehicle for mortgages. We call it digital mortgage. As you might imagine, mortgage consumers are typically young people who prefer digital channels. Digital mortgage is the first of its kind in Israel. It enables these customers to apply for and to go through the entire process of taking out mortgages through digital channels. Until now, customers who took out a mortgage were required to arrive at the branch on average 2 to 4 times. Users of the digital mortgage can go through the entire process via the digital channel without having to come to the branch at all. At the end of the process, they just need to visit the branch once to get the loan. The feedback we receive is excellent, and more customers prefer this channel over the traditional one. Expansion of digital use is evident in all segments. We will continue to provide innovative and unique offerings for our customers, which will increase their satisfaction and create opportunities to improve our efficiency. This leads me to the next pillar of our strategy, which focuses on streamlining. As you know, in the last 2 years, we've implemented 2 major efficiency plans, which were mainly driven by our efforts to shift our customers to digital channels. Following these plans, we announced earlier this year the establishment of a new operations division, which will be up and running in 2019. The operations division will incorporate under one roof the operational activities, logistical and back office from all divisions throughout the bank. By doing that, we will be able to simplify processes to eliminate duplicate activities, which today are handled in different units, and to create potential for further efficiency in the future. The third pillar focuses on maintaining a high-quality credit portfolio. We will continue to grow selectively while upholding the high quality of our credit portfolio. As a result, as in previous quarters, Leumi continues to present high ROE and strong equity. This has enabled us to implement a dividend program and a buyback plan of nearly 1 billion shekels since the beginning of the year. I'm moving on to slide number 5. The ROE for the first half of the year was 9.9%. And for the second quarter was 11.1%. This strong ROE was the result of an increase in the net interest income and also in fees and commissions. As for the non-interest income, there is a decrease compared to the corresponding period. This is mainly attributed to the depreciation of the shekels against the US dollar and the British pound and to the effect of derivatives. The credit loss expenses have continued to be very low. Actually, in the second quarter, they were below zero. Expenses were up compared to the corresponding period, mainly as a result of provision for bonuses regarding structural changes. The bottom line, the net profit, and the EPS were both up by 9% for the first half compared to the corresponding period. Let's move on to slide 6. This slide presents the key financial parameters for the first half of the year compared to last year. The improvement is across the board. The ROE increased. Net interest margin increased. Efficiency ratio improved. Credit loss expenses and the NPL ratio improved. The leverage ratio reached 7%. And the Tier 1 adequacy ratio continued to be much higher than the regulatory requirement. On slide 7, we present the same parameters for the second quarter, and the picture is similar. We have improved in almost every parameter. Let's continue to slide number 8. The net interest income for the first half of 2018 was up to 4.4 billion shekels, an increase of 9.5% from last year. In the second quarter of 2018, the increase is even higher, 11.5%. The NIM was up to 2.41% in Q2 of 2018. The increase of the NIM was affected by the CPI, which was 0.9% in the first half of the year, compared to 0.7% in the first half of 2017. In the second quarter, the CPI was 1.2%, compared to 0.9% in the corresponding period. As I mentioned earlier, non-interest income in the reported period decreased materially compared to the same period last year, mainly as a result of the depreciation of the shekel against the US dollar and the British pound. Let's move on to slide number 9. On slide 9, we present our credit loss expenses over the last 4 years. The credit loss expenses have continued to be very low. In the second quarter, they were even less than zero, and for the entire first half, they were only 0.09%. The NPL dropped compared to last year to 0.86%. The total problem debt also dropped to 6.5 billion shekels. As I pointed out earlier, we are focused on preserving a high-quality credit portfolio and are very selective in our growth. Let's move on to slide number 10. The fees and commissions for the first half increased by 3.1% and for the second quarter by 3.5%, driven primarily by an increase in the credit card commission. I'm moving on to the next slide. The total expenses for the first half of the year increased by almost 2% compared to last year. This was mainly driven by the increase in salary expenses. The increase in salary expenses is linked to the high ROE and to a bonus related to structural changes. As I pointed out earlier, the efficiency ratio in the first half of 2018 dropped to below 62%. On slide 12, we present the growth of our credit portfolio. The increase in the last year was primarily in middle market and in corporate, mainly in real estate. We will continue to grow very selectively and maintaining the high quality of our credit portfolio. This means that we target the profit rather than the volume of credit. I'm moving on to slide number 13. Our deposit portfolio grew by 5.4% from last year. The credit to deposit ratio for the end of June 2018 was 75%. The major part of the other 25% is invested mainly in non-risk assets, such as deposits in the Bank of Israel. This means that we have a high ROE, which has a much lower risk than that of our competitors, not only with regard to the quality of our credit portfolio, but also with regard to the mix of our assets, which include less credit and more investment in non-risk assets. On the right, we can also see the well-diversified structure of our deposits. Moving on to slide 14. The account in equity at the end of June 2018 increased to almost 35 billion shekels, up 6.6% from last year. This equity is free of any hidden provisions. The Tier 1 capital adequacy ratio and the total equity ratio continue to be strong and well above their regulatory targets. Yesterday, the Board of Directors approved a dividend of 361 million shekels for Q2, which reflects a dividend yield of 4.3% for Q2. The total dividend for the last four quarters was 1.3 billion shekels. In addition to that, In late May, we started to implement the buyback plan. Until now, we have bought shares for over 300 million shekels. To conclude, Leumi has achieved and presented once again strong results, a strong ROE, and a trend of improvement in almost each and every financial parameter. As in previous quarters, we have continued to prepare the bank for the ever-changing environment and also to the change of regulation. Looking ahead at the coming quarters, we will record in Q3 124 million shekels pre-tax profit from selling Abgol, and we are expecting to recognize the profit from selling Leumi cards upon completion. In addition, once the market expectations for an increase in interest rates materialize, Leumi results are expected to benefit from this increase, which will provide a strong tailwind. We strongly believe that our strategy will continue to place Leumi at the forefront of the banking industry. I would like to thank you for being with us today, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my question. First, with regards to the provisions, you continue to post low levels and, in this case, recoveries. Looking ahead, should we continue to model for the low levels we've been seeing?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for your question. The level of credit loss expenses, which was in the second quarter even below zero, it's not common. It's unusual. We believe that in the coming quarter, the level of the credit loss expenses will depend mainly on the question if the interest rate starts to increase. If it starts to increase, it means that there will be increase in this line. But even if we will take out the increase in the interest rate, we believe that the level of the credit loss expenses in the coming quarters should be something around 0.15 to 0.2%, and not so low as they were in the last 4-6 quarter. But every quarter, we are by ourselves surprised from this low level of the credit loss expenses. So to sum up, we believe that if we put aside the increase in the interest rate, the number should be something around 0.15 to 0.2%.
Okay.
On a yearly basis.
Uh-huh. Okay. Also, with regards to the sale of Leumi card, can you run us through the impact on Leumi once the deal closes regarding the release of some weighted assets and maybe lower fee income down the road?
Okay. At the completion of the transaction of Leumi card, the first impact will be that we will record immediately a profit of 234 million shekel pre-tax. And as I pointed out in the presentation, there might be another profit in the future of 273 million shekels depend on the result in Lumika and other conditions. This is one impact. The second impact is, as you mentioned, we will release risk-weighted assets as a result of selling Lumika. The risk-weighted assets that related to Lumika are around 6 to 7 million shekels. But so the impact will be that we will release this risk-weighted asset. But we are planning to continue to work with Lumika as a third party. Lumika, after we sell Lumika, we would like to give credit to Lumika, to operate with Lumika as any other supplier or any other customer. So on one end, there will be a decrease of 6 to 7 billion shekels of risk-weighted assets related to Lumika, but some of these assets will be risk-weighted assets, but not regarding Lumika, not regarding Lumika as a subsidiary, but regarding Lumika as any other customers that we want to give him credit. So to sum up, the effect will be the profit that we will record and the release of the risk-weighted assets. That will be not the 6 to 7 billion shekel, because we will continue to work with Lumika as any other customer that Bank Leumi has.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
The next question is from Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations on a very strong quarter and a good first half. A couple of questions, if I may. First of all, you mentioned the fact that your core equity tier one is 11.2 almost, and I'm wondering, I mean, that's close to 2.7 billion shekels of excess capital, and I'm just wondering, you know, at 40% payout ratio and the current buyback of 700 million shekels, are you considering raising potentially to buy the dividend in any chance or other ways of reducing your excess capital?
Hi, Micha, good to hear from you. Thank you for your question. As you pointed out, we have a Tier 1 adequacy ratio of about 11.2%, much higher than the regulatory requirement, which is 10.5%. We are aware of the fact that currently we don't have a use for all this excess capital, and we are considering different options how to deal with that. All the options are on the table.
Okay, thank you very much. Another question on that same account. You know, your credit growth seems to be very selective, as you put it, 0.3 in this quarter and 1.5% over the last year. And I'm just wondering, with all this amount of excess capital, wouldn't it be more prudent to try to grow your credit book a little more, or are you saying that anything above the current rate is going to put your credit book at risk?
Well, we prefer, if it's possible, to use the excess capital for an increase in our credit portfolio. But we will do it only in transactions which we believe are worth the risk. We will not do transactions if we will consider them that as a transaction that don't warrant it doesn't worth the risk that they are involved in. So if there will be an opportunity, and there might be an opportunity because what's happening with our competitors, so we'll use some of these excess capital to increase our growth. But we will continue to do it very selectively. And if we will come to conclusion that it's not worthwhile to increase the credit portfolio, we will not do the transaction. And we are considering, as I mentioned, what to do with the excess capital.
Okay, very clear answer. Now, on the same foot, you also mentioned that your loan-to-deposit ratio is relatively low compared to some of your competitors, and I see around 34% of your balance sheet is currently invested in deposits of cash and mostly government bonds. I'm just wondering, based on those two factors together, would you consider increasing the risk you're taking on, you know, on the security portfolio? I mean, your two-thirds of that is government bonds, which obviously give a low yield. I mean, is there any potential strategy to try to improve that, increase that, reduce the amount of money deposited at the central banks and try to get a higher yield?
Well, I believe personally that it will be more efficient if we will allocate our equity portfolio not only in bonds of in Israeli government bonds and or in deposit in Bank of Israel, and maybe we should allocate them in more channels, maybe a little bit more risk channels. We are doing it very gradually. It's not depending just on our decisions. It's dependent also on the point of view of the regulator in Israel. We are doing it very gradually. I personally think that if the pace will be a little bit higher, it will be more efficient.
I understand. Well, one other question. I saw that on your books, the AFS losses are now close to 400 million shekels, and yields continue to be relatively elevated. I mean, is this gonna generate losses on your P&L eventually, or how should we look at these you know, MTM losses?
Sorry, Micha, I didn't catch you. Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, you seem to have accumulated losses on your available for sale portfolio around 400 million shekels in the first half, and I'm just wondering how we should be looking at that number going forward. Is this gonna hurt your P&L in the next couple of quarters? Is this gonna reduce the potential for gains coming through? How should we look at that? In the past, you've recorded substantial gains from your portfolio security, and it seems to be at loss now.
Okay, understood. Well, as a result of the increase in the interest rates, what's happened is that the available for sale bond value has dropped, and according to the accounting, we record it to the other income and not to the P&L. What will be in the future, it depends on a few questions. It depends what will be with the interest rate and if we will sell this bond and record it to the P&L. But you can, according to my opinion, you should look at all of the picture and what's happened in the second quarter. A part of the decrease in the market value of the bond, something else happened. We have a liability of a pension liability of about 16 billion shekels. And what happened in the second quarter is that this liability decreased by more than 1 billion shekels because of the decrease in the interest rate, because the increase in the interest rate. A major part of the available for sale bonds that you mentioned are against that liability. It means that net, Bank Leumi improved its equity in the second quarter because the pension liability dropped much higher than the loss in the available for sale bonds. And it means that in the future, if we look what happened in the second quarter, it means that the second quarter improved the profit for the further quarters, because the equity overall increased because of these two factors.
Okay, thank you for that. My last question is maybe more of an economic question, but also I guess a question for the bank. I mean, the current thing that is happening in Turkey and the impact on the financial system and the markets, do you have an exposure there at a bank level? And secondary, is there, you know, potential fallout from trade agreements between Israeli companies and Turkey? How do you see that impacting the bank? Thank you very much for all that.
Hi, Micha. This is Gil Bufman. I'll talk about the economic side of things. Turkey-Israel economic relations, trade relations, and then possibly if Omer has anything to add on the specific impact on the bank, then he'll do so. All in all, when you look at the trade relations between Israel and Turkey, you find that bilateral trade with Turkey is relatively small as a percentage of overall Israeli trade. When you look at the good side of things, trade with Turkey is well below 4% of overall Israeli trade. When you take into account the services, the number drops even more. So it's not a big trading partner. Nonetheless, there are several sectors within that trade where we do see a relatively large concentration. On the export side of things, we find that a lot of the exports to Turkey that amount on an annual basis to about $1.5 billion, about two-thirds of that is from the pharma sector, the chemical sector, and the plastic sector. So there's a lot of concentration there. Nonetheless, as a percentage of the overall exports of those sectors, we're not talking about a large percentage. On the import side, from Turkey to Israel, it's worth noting the relatively large share of imports of metals, iron, steel, copper, things like that, to Israel. A lot of those imports are inputs to the construction sector in Israel. So there, when you talk about overall imports from Turkey to Israel, about $3 billion per year, about, let's say, close to 20% of that is in the form of metals. So there are a lot of things to take into account, not only on the export side, if Turkey is unable to continue to buy as they did in the past, but also what happens if there's some sort of a disruption in the supply of metals to Israel. You know, you're talking about, let's say, 20% of the imports to Israel. That could have some impact, but not a very, very large one. That's on the direct side of things. Obviously, anything happening globally because of the Turkish crisis that would have some, negative impact on global economic growth would have some indirect impact on Israel. But the bottom line is that it's not a very, very large trading partner for Israel. So if anything, most of the impact is likely to be indirect and is probably going to be reflected through financial markets, but nothing much more major than that. So it's a thing that we feel we take into account. We're following it very closely, but it's not a major story for Israel at the moment. Omer?
Yeah, just to give with regard to Bank Leumi, the direct impact of this crisis with the Turkish lira is negligible, and also the indirect impact is still under considering, but it's not supposed to be material.
All right, thank you very much for the comprehensive answers. I hope you guys have a great vacation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Roi Lipovetsky of Moore Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to ask, first of all, congratulations for the nice quarter, and I would like to ask about the mortgage section. You mentioned the digital mortgage.
We hear an echo. Are you with the speaker?
Maybe now you hear me better?
Yeah, this is much better. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. So about the digital mortgage product, I'm just wondering if you still see opportunities in the mortgage market, and like your general opinion, are there still opportunities there? How do you see it?
Well, the digital mortgage, as I pointed out in the presentation, is a vehicle that is innovative in Israel. Till now, the customers had to come to the branch to do the all process or most of the process, and most of them are typically young people who can use the digital channel. So according to the response that we get here now and according to our data, more and more customers prefer this channel, which enables them to do all the process through the digital channel. And because of the fact that we are the only one in Israel currently who has this vehicle, we see it as an advantage. We just launched it a month ago. Secondly, I don't want to speak about our competitors, but the strong player in mortgages in Israel is Mizrahi. And Mizrahi now has to deal with the provisions regarding to the American issue. And from point of view of T1 adequacy ratio and total adequacy ratio, it means that it doesn't have much excess capital currently above the regulatory target. So it means that one of the major participants in this market now has to handle equity problems, like Lumi had to handle them 4 years ago when we had to deal with the American issue. So it's also a factor that we should take into the equation when we see in the future.
I see. Thanks a lot.
There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's second quarter 2018 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.